not safe for work. Make sure you turn your sound down. Land and everywhere else that you are.
Facebookville, I love it.
Yes. Oh, yes, I am all country and have a fan blowing in back of me. People, it is hot.
It is. It's 11 o'clock. I think it was 9 a.m. and my AC was kicking on already.
Yep. Mine hasn't gone off yet.
This is not cool at all.
The current temperature, it's actually not, wait a minute, yeah, it's currently 75 degrees and it's only 11 a.m. I got to move to Seattle in the summer or something.
I like this idea a lot.
Let's see. All right. So you guys came to hear some news?
Did they? Are you sure that that's what they came for? I think they came for the boobs.
They probably did.
For the brains.
We're supposed to have a special guest calling in. I am contacting her to have.
Oh yeah, that's right. I gotta be good.
Well, she was told, and she's from up New York way, or she's in that time zone at least, so she knows that we're raw. I hope she knows we're raw.
A little crazy, just a tiny bit crazy, off the wall, but we're epic and we're awesome, and everybody knows. And if you don't, well, you should.
Okay. I gotta clear my throat. Okay. And good morning to you too, Joseph and Horace, and anyone else out there listening. If you'd like for us to say hello to you, say hello to us. We're cordial. we're cordial.
I like that. Cordial.
Yeah. I say nice. Cordial. We'll say hello back, but yeah. Wow. Okay, so there is so much news, and I am so amped up on coffee. I've been up since 4:30, and I've drank a half a pot of coffee. Be afraid. So,
afraid. Be very afraid.
Ginger, do you want to go first?
I can go first if you'd like me to. Sure.
I can make them wait for that juice a little bit longer.
That is some good juice. And where am I hearing music from? What is that?
I just turned ours down, so it's not us.
Okay. All right. So, what do we got? I think this may be interesting. Bear with me. I did not actually read this one ahead of time. GamePolitics.com, because you know I love you. Epic and Virtual Heroes team up for Unreal Government Network. Epic Games has inked a long-term deal with Virtual Heroes, a division of Applied Research Associates Incorporated.
Ms. Ginger, you did that yesterday.
Did we do that yesterday?
Yeah, that was when I was having on to you. You didn't hear the beginning, but yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
GLaDOS was all over me. Well,
yeah.
Then you know what? I'm not reading that one. How about I read? Did you read about Sony yanking two PSP games?
No, I did not. Ooh, juicy.
All right. I'll do this one instead. Man, that is not a good... I do not like starting that off. All right. So, Sony yanks two PSP games because of Vita exploit. Sony has taken two PSP games off the PlayStation Store after it was revealed that the games might contain an exploit that allowed hackers access to the handheld's core functionality. In other words, it gave them the ability to run any kind of software they wanted to on the Vita. The two PSP games taken off offline are Everybody's Tennis and MotorStorm Arctic Edge. The latter may have been taken off the store for other reasons, and the timing of its removal could simply be coincidental.
Who's even playing those?
I know, right? Naturally, Sony is working on a patch to fix the exploit, which means you can enjoy the usual pain-in-the-ass update to anyone who owns a current-generation Sony device. You know, they made such a big deal about this, about the PS Vita coming out, and I feel let down again. I mean, because I have the PlayStation phone, I have my Xperia Play, and I was so excited about it, and they've really not given me much to be excited over it with, and they're doing the same thing with the Vita all over again. I mean, I see one or two press releases that cover a couple of generic baby type games, I guess you'd say, come through. But I've not seen anything major for the PS Vita. Have you? Anything that really grabs your attention that makes you say, I have to go out and buy this. I want this.
I got a chance to play Drake Uncharted. Uh-huh. It is beautiful on the PSP.
Yes.
Or the Vita. Yeah, okay. The Vita, or rather. It's not really the PSP, but it is gorgeous. The Vita seems to be just a tad more durable, but not by much. It still looks like that.
It looks like
crack. Yeah, it's going to crack. You guys need to go over and talk to Nintendo and find out what they're doing with their consoles. I keep saying this.
Some kind of, like, rubber ledge and go around it. Just enough to keep the screen from hitting the floor if it drops.
Yes. People at Nintendo need to make cars. I mean,
I know. Oh, my God.
Planes.
Nintendo car. Run it into anything.
It will not break. We need this. We need this technology, Nintendo. I don't know what you're doing over there, but share.
Seriously. It's like they have magic elves or something.
Ah, our guest is on the line.
Yay. Oh, my God. Awesome.
Miss Bonnie Zilla. Miss Bonnie Zilla posted a story yesterday about the net neutrality with Comcast. Bonnie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good morning. Thank you for calling in.
No problem, ladies.
Good morning. We wanted to have you call in so we can interrogate you further. You were talking about the net neutrality for Comcast, and you are a former employee, yeah?
Yes, I am.
So can you tell us a little bit more about how all that works for those of us who are a little bit behind the curve with the net neutrality and what happened with Comcast yesterday? Because we were agreeing with you, but I don't think we were explaining it as well as you probably could.
Well, I think what people need to understand first is what net neutrality is. When you think about it, you want to get your information from point A to point B. So say I'm sending something here in New Jersey to you down in, I don't know where you are, Texas. You want it to get there quickly. You want it to get there without getting held up by other people. You don't want to have to worry about paying extra charges between here and there to get from point A to point B. That's pretty much what net neutrality is fighting for, is that when you send that information, you don't want it to get held up on somebody else's network and they charge you an extra 5 or 10 cents to have it get from point A to point B. And how that works out is, say, for, you know, Comcast, say I'm on a Comcast connection and I want to send something to someone that's on a different provider, say Verizon or Bright House or Cox or whatever, it's going to leave Comcast network and it's going to go out onto the public internet before it gets to that end provider's network. Now, Comcast and every other provider pays to send your information off of their network onto the public internet. There are lots of different pipes out there that different providers run. Level 3, Cogent are two examples that run the big pipes that, you know, take tons and tons and tons of information, and they take it from, like I said, your provider to the other provider, Comcast, whoever pays that fee, and then it goes on to wherever. Now, in the instance of the streaming on the Xbox, which is what I was talking about in particular the other day, is that Comcast doesn't necessarily need to abide by the net neutrality rules because it's on their network. It never leaves their network. It's kind of like the way they were saying this is that it's kind of like an additional set-top box in your house. Your Xbox is acting like a set-top box, like a DVR or something. So when they send that information from their head end or wherever, it's never leaving their private network. It's not going out onto Level 3's pipes or Cogent's pipes. It just stays on. So it's not being charged on another provider's network. It's not leaving their network. And, you know, as much as I hate to say it and agree with them, it doesn't violate net neutrality rules. I think you, the host, know that I'm a former employee, and I didn't leave on the best circumstances, and I'm not entirely happy with the company. But I'm not trying to come to their defense here either, but I'm trying to explain why they have this logic.
That's exactly right, is right.
Yeah, it doesn't leave their network. It's just like when you get your cable TV services. It's not leaving their network. It stays on all of their pipes. It doesn't go out onto the public internet, and that's that. I think a lot of people are confused by that because they think, you know, hey, well, Netflix is a streaming service. Hulu is a streaming service. Why does that count against my cap? And, you know, you've got a great question there, but that runs on the public internet. You know, it hits level 3 pipes and Cogent pipes, and that does count against your data caps. And as much as that sucks, and as much as we don't really have answers as to why these data caps are there, they haven't given good answers about why you have a 250 gig a month data cap. Why is that there? Is it because of congestion? Is it because they're out of pipes? Is it because it puts wear and tear on their equipment? Nobody has said. And it's actually something that I read. I'm not entirely sure where I read it. There are questions before the FTC now that are, I think it's from a consumer panel, that is trying to find out why these caps are in place, not just with Comcast, but with, say, Verizon or Cox or Charter, whatever provider you have. They haven't really said why they have these caps in place. And that's also, you know, really great question. Why do we have these in place? Why should we have to worry about using, you know, 250 gig a month? What happens when you hit that? Do you just, like, run out of pipe?
The internet explodes is what happens.
Yeah, it's
going to
explode into a fiery ball of who knows what and blow up everything. And, yeah, no fun. But, I mean, that's basically the gist of it. It's a pretty simple answer, and I remember there was a conversation on Reddit about this. I think it was yesterday or the day before, and people were getting very volatile about it. And I told them, I'm like, listen, I'm all for net neutrality. I believe that's what we need. If the internet is going to continue to grow and evolve into the most awesome communication and collaboration space it can be, we need to have net neutrality.
Exactly.
It's very important. But, you know, if you go and attack Comcast and talk to their PR people and try and find an answer as to why this particular little thing doesn't apply to the data caps, that's what they're going to tell you. And I just tried to tell people that. And, you know, some people are like, well, you know, herder, it's Comcast. I don't like them. I'm going to say something mean anyway. And I would love to say tons of mean things about Comcast. Don't get me wrong.
We do it every morning.
Say mean things about them instead? Because, you know.
We do it every morning. And I'm using Comcast, but they're the only ones in my area. So they do try.
Time Warner is the only one where I'm at.
And they try very hard to keep us quiet.
that's the case with a lot of people. You know, I spent 6 years working there. And my last 2 years I spent working for the office of the president out of their headquarters in Philadelphia and, you know, tweeting for them, finding people who needed help. And, you know, in a lot of cases, Comcast is the only choice you have. And it's because they doubled up all the little bitty
companies. You've got these same companies right now that are saying, you know what, we're going to come in and we're going to petition the government and the local governments to say, you cannot have these small providers. You have to use us or nobody. You can't have your own citywide internet. No, no, you have to use ours and only ours. That pisses me off. I'm sorry. I know it's
really shady. It's really shady. And I know one of the examples of this was in North Carolina, Community Fiber to the Home. Time Warner Cable in particular was lobbying state and local governments to make a new regulation that basically forced all of the little telcos out of the loop. And that's pretty shady. And I don't agree with that, and I think, you know, communities should be free to have their own broadband companies. It encourages competition,
it
brings rates down, and it encourages innovation. I know that there's, I think in California, there's a provider called SonicNet.
Yes, there is.
Where in particular they are, but they have something like 100 meg fiber to the home, and it's ridiculously cheap. It's like $45 a month. If you want that with Comcast, it's going to be like $180.
Yes, very true.
I know, and wasn't there, was some town in Colorado recently that actually got it passed finally because they'd already had the T1 fiber optic laid throughout the town. They just weren't allowed to use it. And now they've finally gotten it passed so that they can have their own small community.
Maybe this little thing that's going on with Comcast is the rest of them finally trying to speak up, but unfortunately it's not going to come down on their side because they haven't actually done anything in this instance. So if you're out there trying to go after Comcast, this is not the one to go after them on. I think a monopoly on internet services in certain places is a good way to go after them. But I don't think this is going to work. Bonnie, you know what? I just realized who you were. You were Comcast Bonnie, weren't you?
Oh, yes.
You helped me before.
That's how we know each other.
Yes, it just occurred to me who you were. We were talking about popsicles is how we ended up talking one day. We had a conversation about the heat and popsicles. Now I remember. All right. Well, Bonnie, we're going to get back to our gaming news. Thank you for calling in. Call in anytime.
No problem. If you ladies ever need any questions, help about that sort of stuff, feel free to send me a message on Twitter. It's Bonniezilla.
Bonniezilla. And Bonniezilla needs a job. Somebody out there, hook our girl up.
Yeah. All right, thanks, ladies.
Thanks,
so much.
Bonnie.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Well, that was interesting. That was very good. And Corey, you still here, maybe?
Yeah, I'm muted and talking.
Okay.
I'm
you scared me. Oh, no.
I am muted and having a whole conversation with myself.
Ooh. Oh, welcome back.
Fantastic. Okay, now for some juice.
Ooh, what you got? What you got? What you got?
Okay, you guys remember yesterday, and Ginger was trying to explain to you all about the whole CCP Eve FanFest debacle.
Yes! Oh my God, that was horrible!
And to refresh your memory, a suicidal player was mocked at the event, and SMC chairman Alex Guanturco, yes, we're saying your name, says that he was drunk. Eve Online creator CCP has a pop.
Wow, yeah, drunk is a very good excuse for stupidity.
People. CCC is CCP is apparently apologizing that the suicidal player was mocked by one of the game's community figureheads. He says, we are undertaking a full internal review of this panel as well as the process used for vetting the panel's materials as an on the site. They said, even though this panel was billed as unfiltered by CCP, we expect public presentations to be courteous and professional towards others. The chairman of EVE Online's fan community, the Stellar Management Council, Alex Guanturco, said he is planning to resign after he led the attack on a depressed player, giving out his name during the panel and encouraging other players to harass him. Footage of the offending presentation can be found over on Eurogamer. It's not good. Guanturco declared his intentions via his The Mitanni Twitter account yesterday. He said, just slandered. Step one, apologize profusely. Step two, resign. Step three, send all my ISK to the victim. Entirely my fault and unacceptable. He later posted a lengthier apology to the community on the game's official forums, saying he was ashamed and sickened by his actions and claimed that he had been intoxicated and unaware of what he had said. He said, there's no excuse for what I did. While some might try to use my inebriation as a mitigating factor, I put myself in that compromised mental state and the guilt of that. This incident is one of a million as to why I'm always upset at panels, why mm-hmm. I'm upset at the gaming industry in general, is because it does have the boys club mentality. For some reason, it's not just that he was drunk, it's that he thought to be drunk on a panel for a company, and the company didn't say, hey,
yes.
we need...
Oh, my God. And, you know, just to also link this in, remember the guy, it was a couple of weeks ago, the homeless guy was able to sit in and get an interview with a company. And nobody thought any different, because apparently this is normal for the interviewees to be in there drunk, covered in beer.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks twice. This is not professional. This is not cute.
Well, depending on what's going on. I mean, I know, like I've said, we've gone to the Microsoft, we've gone to EA things, and sometimes they're in a bar. Those are a little different setting where, you know, they are trying to be, you know, we're being friendly and we're in a relaxed setting and come try a game. Not on camera. Usually, I noticed when we went to the Need for Speed event, EA wasn't really snapping a whole lot of pictures, which was great because some people were drunk. I mean, it was in Austin. Austin is a college town, so pretty much there's a bar on every corner, literally. So you got a bunch of college students hanging in and outside. Completely different setting as opposed to when you go to PAX or you're at E3 and you're on a panel speaking in front of people. And this was not the smartest decision that CCP has made. To not check out their people. I remember working on Hero's Journey, and they were wanting to do some of the same things, you know, have people that were going to be head of certain groups from the game and them interact with me. I was going to be, you know, the go-to person, their liaison. And I was very nervous about all that because I thought I had the fear of this very thing happening. You never know who you're sticking up in front of people. They may act like the best person ever when they're in game and when they speak to you and they're eloquent when they email, and then you stick them in front of people and they do this, and your company's reputation is at stake. And I was lobbying against that very heavily. The game never shipped, so I didn't have to worry about it after a while. But it's this is what happens. You don't you really should have sat down and talked to people beforehand. I mean, literally right before they go on, 30 minutes, you know, hey, you're drunk, you can't go on, if that was the case. We don't
yes.
to, you're representing our company. So the person that was there as a representative of the company should have already had them, you know, in the back, and I need to look at you, and, you know, you're not wearing stuff that's going to be sexist, racist, you're not drunk, you're, you know, you're going to represent our game and show how great our gaming community is. Hey, this is what happens. And I love
yes.
the people that you want.
It disappoints me that so many of these things have happened in the past year, it seems like. You've got WoW with the whole commercial, or was it the commercial?
Gay oh. something. They
yeah, yeah, that they did. All right, now we've got CCP that not only called their people sheep, but now they are taunting somebody who wanted to kill themselves and telling the rest of the crowd to do so too. And then we've had just all sorts of other stuff. We had the guy taking the video of the girl gamer, and weirding her out and being all sexist pig.
Mm-hmm.
What is wrong with you people? So many of you, you are understanding and you are bright and you're logical and you're so much further than the rest of the community around us, it seems like. At least here in the gamer community, it seems like we're so understanding and we're so open-minded. And then we have this.
There's a very clear divide there. And again, so we can get on with the rest of the news, we'll talk more about this Thursday. Yeah, we're going to make you listen Thursday night. Make sure you listen to us live Thursday night, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we'll be discussing more about this whole CCP debacle. And we may have to trot out the old show again just so some of you know what to do when somebody's committing suicide. This definitely.
Yes, because, yeah, I had never had that happen. And when it happened, I didn't really know what to do. I didn't know who to contact.
We will run those numbers and information down for you again, or at least link you to our old show if you want to listen to it.
Yes.
So, anyway, back to the news.
All right, what have we got? More stuff from game politics. Dennis Dyack, used games will cannibalize the industry. In a recent interview with Games Industry International, Silicon Knights frontman Dennis Dyack says that used games will cannibalize the industry if sales continue unabated. He argues that games no longer have a tail, referring to how games used to have a longer shelf life at retail months after launch. Well, maybe if you give us better games with more story, you know, 4 hours is not enough. Literally, you will get most of your sales within 3 months of launch, which has created this really unhealthy extreme where you have to sell it really fast and then you have to do anything else to get money. He added, referring to DLC. Argues used game adding to the cost of making games. If developers and publishers don't see revenues from that, it's not a matter of, hey, we're trying to increase the price of games to consumers and we want more. We're just trying to survive as an industry. Looking towards next generation, people once again are saying we're going to have to have development costs that are two or three times what they were last generation. I don't think, as an industry, we can afford $300 million budgets. Dyack goes on to say that if used games continue the way they are, it's going to cannibalize. There's not going to be an industry. All right. I get this, and you should get some sort of return. And I agree, we should have some sort of system set up. I mean, we do that with rentals. We do that with radio stations. Why not with games? On the other hand, you give me 4 hours of game, and you expect that to last more than a day?
There, you know what? I'm sorry to say, people in our industry are just as greedy as Hollywood, although we try to differentiate. If you would just go to the game stores and places like Redbox and say, we want a residual off of what you're renting or selling at a reduced price, then we don't have any problems with the gaming industry being cannibalized because you'll get some of your money. It's really that simple. Instead of saying, we only want the, you know, the when they buy the new ones, you've done this to yourself. You should have signed the agreement when you agreed to sell, you know, your product in their store, is that we need a residual. Pick an amount, and you will make some of that money back. And over at that, because people always are returning and selling games, and they're just going to resell it again. So you're missing out on money. I'm not feeling sorry for you, gaming industry. Do something. Quit yapping. All right.
Do something, man.
I got something I need to say to our president. Want to be on top? I'm sorry, I used my top model reference.
I'm going to bite my tongue.
But according to a recent gamer survey, Obama just is back on top. He is the overwhelming favorite presidential candidate among players of the online game MapleStory. According to a poll conducted by Nexon America regarding its players' political interests, a majority of players identified themselves as politically independent and cited unemployment as the most pressing issue facing Americans today. The web poll was conducted from March 23rd until the 26th, which was day before yesterday. It received 1,655 responses. Only U.S. residents who were registered MapleStory players were given access to the survey. The poll asked players who they favored among the current candidates running for president, what they consider the most important issue facing the United States, and their political identification. MapleStory is, of course, a 2D free-to-play MMO, MMORPG, let me just differentiate, that has more than 9 million registered players here in the North America alone, and more than 116 million players worldwide. A wide majority of MapleStory players are between the ages of 18 and 29, and 40% of them are women. That's right, women. Nexon America is the North American business unit. You like that? There's a North American business unit of Nexon Co. Limited, a global publisher of free-to-play online games, and they were founded in South Korea, headquartered in Tokyo. Now, more on their favorite candidates. Well, 48% of the survey respondents favored Barack Obama. 21% indicated that they did not know or favor any of the candidates, while Ron Paul was favored by 14%, Mitt Romney was favored by 10%, Rick Santorum was favored by 5%, and Newt Gingrich got a 2%.
He run like every year the past 100 years or something.
I'm just going to be quiet there because yeah. Anyway, so additionally, 40% of those surveyed listed unemployment as the most important issue facing the United States. The gap between rich and poor was listed by 28% of those surveyed as most important, followed by social issues with 12%, with healthcare and terrorism/national security both weighing in at 10%. Players who were asked to identify their political affiliation, 49% of the surveyed indicated they were independent and not affiliated with any political party. 34% identified themselves as being Democrats, while 17% identified themselves as Republicans. Wow. So if you play MapleStory, interesting. I'm trying to see if they had some. Oh, the town in Maple World that most appealed to MapleStory players, of course, was Lefra, if you play that, and it has to do with nature. And 58% of players were more concerned about the evil that the black mage was spreading throughout their virtual world. I like that.
Evil black mage. Evil.
I like that they did this because this is kind of new. This is not something that we've seen them doing before, and we all know as gamers we tend to get discounted. Games, all of us alike, we tend to get discounted when it comes to the political things. But I think we showed them we mean businesses when we did the SOPA blackout.
We mean businesses. I love that.
So with the whole SOPA blackout, so I like that they did this, and hopefully some of the presidential candidates will be paying attention. We already know Barack is, you know, sort of geeky, so that's why he's most likely ahead of the curve. The rest of them are so busy worrying about women holding aspirin between their knees and things, they're not paying attention to the generation that is coming into power, which is the internet generation. And they don't care about the aspirin between the knees. We want to know when we get to play the next WoW expansion. And if you don't know what that is, you're not going to be my president. Holla. Mm-hmm. Okay. Moving along. Ginger, what you got?
All right, what have I got? I have got all sorts of fun stuff. I was looking for one in particular. Here we go. I was talking about this earlier. It seems like PSP games and PS Vita games not doing so well. The Atlas Revitalized PlayStation Network Price Drop Event, PSP System Classics, now available at dramatically lower prices. Atlas today announced that it's a library of downloadable titles for PSP. Is now available at significantly reduced prices as part of the Revitalize PlayStation Network price drop event. Wow, really, people? Along with Atlas Classics dropping in prices, the complete PSP Persona Collection, which includes Persona 3 Portable, regarded as the second best PSP system of all time by GameRankings.com. Also being discounted are Hexes Force, and Department Heaven PSP Collection, a host of genre-twisting RPGs and SPRGs, with breathtaking visuals and innovative gameplay from celebrated developer Sting. Other affected titles include the acclaimed RPG Crimson Saga, the hardcore dungeon crawling RPG Class of Heroes, and the action-packed brawler Kaneka Pancho Badass Rumble. All right, so whether you're a PSP system owner who has watched Atlas RPGs from afar, your eyes glued to your pervy game-watching binoculars, I can't seem to talk, but your wallet unable to open itself for the cause, or perhaps you spend your evenings making sexy time with the two nubs on your PlayStation Vita. Oh, my God.
You know what?
Aram, the manager of PR and sales at Atlas, by the way, Aram, totally hot. How are you? Now you can dive into a library of critically acclaimed Atlas PSP system games that delivers hundreds of hours of deep, compelling RPG adventures and promises to thoroughly satisfy your hardcore gamer cravings. Oh, my God. Making sense.
I'll be done.
Aram, oh, my God, that is awesome. That is so hilarious. I love it.
I'd be done. Arr.
It's not going like a pirate day already?
Yeah, it's talk like a pirate just at random. Well, Natural Motion has got some strong words for their other fellow iOS developers. Said stop iterating and find some more unique ideas. Natural Motion's free-to-play iOS game, My Horse, has already been downloaded more than 8 million times, not by me, and I may go check it out today because now I'm curious. They spoke at a free-to-play summit in London. Product designer Strawn Robinson revealed that My Horse, which is developed by the U.S. studio Monkey Fun, now attracts around 500,000 downloads. Robinson claims that Natural Motion reached these figures with no marketing budget. Instead, it focused on creating the most visually impressive game possible, on the belief that it would inspire natural curiosity in both the public and the press. And they're right. I'm curious. A presentation broke down design decisions behind My Horse. Robinson emphasized the need for iOS developers to find unique ideas to push the market into the equivalent of a generational leap. He says, and I agree with this next part completely, Mr. Robinson, really, too many iOS developers equate unique ideas with niche ideas. He believes the only way to be successful on the platform is by appealing to as many people as possible, and he says a lot of people are going out of their way to do something a little too cerebral, a little too arty. He says, at the moment, and this is my favorite quote, the App Store feels like the arcade in the early 80s, and he is right. He says, we almost don't know any better. People are coming in and don't know any better than what's out there. He says, and what's out there is fine, it's good, it's doing a great job, but it feels like we've had our Space Invaders and our Pac-Man, and now we're getting close to our Galaxians and our missed Pac-Man. We haven't really moved on. We're still iterating. So people are doing a good job of iterating, and that's all good, but at some point, we need our Street Fighter 2 and our Daytona. He's right. I can't even argue with that. I've been trying to find an analogy for that myself. It's exactly right. It feels like an arcade in the early 80s, and Ginger's muted. You are.
I'm not. You can hear me.
There you are. That's one of my biggest gripes with the App Store is that I will sit. Usually, if we have people over and everybody's agreed to watch something I don't really want to watch, I'll grab the iPad and look for something that I can play really quickly. And it is extremely difficult to find anything good to play that's going to keep my attention for more than a few minutes. I've been playing Order Up, which is still in beta, which we will review on the site because it's probably it's not a unique idea, but it is fun. It's a take on the whole Cooking Mama thing. But Cooking Mama, if anybody's ever played it, or if you haven't played it, you'll know what I'm talking about. Cook one at a time. Order Up is you're in a restaurant. And you have people that order food, and you have to make several things at one time because the food can't be cold when it gets to them. And you,
oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, and you have to order your amount of food for the day, based on how many customers you have and based on what you think they're going to order when they come in. And you may not have what they want, therefore you don't meet your quota for the day. It's very much a simulator. And those types of games are so far and few between on the App Store, it's not even funny. And that I will play over and over. And it's a free-to-play title. And I would have contemplated even tossing them a little cash because they're not forcing me to buy anything. Everything I get, I can either play for hours to earn enough money to buy in-game, or I can go ahead and, drop the dollar or 99 cents to go ahead and level up then. So I love that. Great idea. But the rest of it is crap. And I'm disgusted with the App Store anyway. Moving along.
Yes, yes. I don't blame you. Okay, what do we got? Capital Plus rating for a test drive.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time coming, but Australia is finally getting the adult rating for video games that Aussie gamers have been clamoring for. You know, the adult rating that movies and books in that country already have. That's awesome. All right, so for years, MA 15 Plus was the highest rating Australia had for video games. This meant that many games were either released with a rating that many felt was too low, Duke Nukem Forever or Fear 3, for example, were edited to fit the lower rating, 50 Cent Bulletproof and Dark Sector, or got banned outright, Mortal Kombat and recently Syndicate. Canberra, the country's capital, will start using the new R18 Plus rating next week. If the adult rating is successful, it will be rolled out for the rest of the territories in 2013. ACT Attorney General Simon Corbell says this is part of a national reform that will allow adult gamers to review R18 Plus material in the same way that can already be done for film and printed material, but at the same time, it will also provide protection to parents and children by giving parents better guidance about what material is and is not appropriate for people under the age of 18. It will be interesting to see if the introduction of an adult rating for video games changes anything. It won't. The Australian Classification Board still has the ability to refuse classification to any title it feels doesn't meet the R18 Plus's ratings criteria. Wow. So you guys are still going to be able to ban games if you think that they're even above the R18? Really? Are you going to tell us adults what we can play and what we can't play, what we can view and what we can't view?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I like this.
Well, we don't live in Australia is a good thing.
That is a good thing. You keep your crocodiles and your weird gaming obsession where, you know, it's okay to be a paid booker. It's not okay to play a violent video game. Priorities. All about priorities.
I'm backing away from that with my hands in the air. Okay. Well, according to VentureBeat this morning and a top U.S. cyber cop, he says that we're losing the war against computer criminals. Imagine that.
Yeah.
The outgoing executive director of the FBI, Sean Henry, is not leaving on an optimistic note. He says, we're not winning. The nation's top cyber cop told the Wall Street Journal that he doesn't see how we can ever come out of this without changes in technology or changes in behavior, because with the status quo, it's an unsustainable model. Unsustainable in that you never get ahead, never become secure, never have a reasonable expectation of privacy or security. You know, Sean, that's true of not just the virtual world, but in the real world. You know, you can have security at your house. That doesn't stop anybody from busting in your house and shooting you before the cops even get there. So, you know, anyway. Increasingly, the FBI came across stolen information during the course of one investigation, which revealed that another corporate network had been breached for months or even years without the company in question having any idea they were ever under attack. Earlier this month, VentureBeat was reporting that 100 million people whose data was breached by Anonymous just this year. He said, but it seems increasingly clear that the hacking attacks, which are made public, are just the tip of the iceberg. What, you didn't know that? For example, the testimony this past Monday in front of Congress by the security firm Mandiant revealed that the majority of cases trace back to Chinese hackers. The average company was unaware of the problem for 416 days before being alerted to the problem, often by a third-party security. This grim portrait explains why some companies are getting more creative. The senior lawyer in Microsoft's Digital Crimes Division, who led the Microsoft recent raid on Zeus botnet, says that big companies need to step up and plug the gap left by law enforcement and traditional corporate security. Mr. Richard Bosovic is saying that we're lucky because our legal department, and he's the senior lawyer that I was speaking about. He says, we're very lucky because our legal department is very forward-thinking and allows us to get creative in order to address what is a rapidly growing problem. And also because you're Microsoft and you're on every computer in the world and people are afraid to hack you. That is why. Bostovich was actually waiting in the courthouse for a trial to begin and overheard a case being brought by a handbag manufacturer against a counterfeit ring. He says, I realized that we could use the same principles laid down in the Lanham Trademark Act of the 1940s to go after the botnet armies that used Microsoft's name to further their malicious email. So the actual criminal gangs behind the Zeus botnet are believed to be located overseas. But Bostovich says the idea is to change the ecosystem at home. When we shut them down here, it makes it more expensive to do business. We can't eliminate the threat entirely, but we can simply get to the point where crime doesn't pay. like these two. That's good for you, Microsoft, but the companies out there, unfortunately, I don't even know where to begin. This is really a big elephant to eat, is what it is. How do you even start? Where do you start with this? Because the companies, you have a lot of people in charge of these companies. These are the same people who let our market crash. Ginger, you're muted. The people who let our market crash are the same people that are in charge of making sure we have web security and these types of things.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that you said you were gone, darling. I'm sorry. Okay.
I just came back.
Okay. So these people are, you know, they're in charge of web security for their companies, and a lot of them, they're not part of, I don't want to say they're not part of the new generation, but they don't understand technology in the first. So they can't really say, we need to do this to make sure we're secure, which is just makes me feel to be great. Very sad, very, very scary. I don't even know what to tell you people out there that own companies that aren't secure. Or where to begin to tell you to get?
I don't know, but I know to tell you to get secure. Otherwise, you're going to go the way of Sony, and we all know how that's going.
Well, Sony still has a leg up because at least they're part of the they're a member of, in an odd way, of the generation that is generally going in and hacking them. But let's say you're Texas Bank International. You're only in Texas, and you've been around for the last 10 or 15 years. The owner was born in 1947. He don't have an iPhone. He don't have a cell phone. He don't know how to use his computer. So he can't say, we need to worry about getting secure because he has no idea.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, security companies that do this go and either one of two things happens. Either they go and they try to talk to the people and they're like, oh, we're fine. We've been doing things this way for the last 50 years, honey. We're going to be fine.
No. I'm sorry. Change is good, people. Change is really good.
Good or not, you still have to embrace some change or you're not going to survive. It's so simple.
Yes. And so many of these people out there are just not getting this whole, oh, well, it worked for the last 50 years. Does not mean
you're right.
Continue working.
You need a few minutes?
No, I'm good. I got one. What have we got? Nuclear Hipster 1.0 for iOS. I wanted to read this just because the title kind of made me laugh. Dory Guzzi Studios, the creative-driven company. Go away, little fly. All right, releases its first game, Nuclear Hipster. This game will be an instant cult classic featuring anarchist aliens, robot dinosaurs, and bear sharks. Oh, my God, this sounds epic. Nuclear Hipster revolves around a lead singer who is a hipster trying to save his band members from alien anarchists who kidnapped them and nuked planet Earth. The lead singer will sell his priceless record collection to build a retro robot dinosaur to travel across the wasteland of Earth, of Earth Remains, to search for his missing band members. This wasteland is filled with dangers such as bear sharks, anarchist aliens, and lasers. To save your band, you must solve puzzles and locate nuclear bombs before the timer detonates, so your band members' lives will be saved. Race against the clock in the casual exploration across desert, jungle, and Arctic wastelands. Float through toxic waste to reach new areas. Watch out for traps from the alien anarchists such as lasers, bear sharks, falling rocks, UFOs, toxic waste, moving ice blocks, and more. The bombs are randomized for a new experience each time you play. It features one-handed gameplay filled with ridiculous hipster humor.
One-handed gameplay?
Yeah, picking up the one down your pants. Save your band and the first hipster inspired indie rock adventure of a lifetime. This is for iPhone 3GS, iPhone 4, iPhone 4 4S, 3 and 4G iPod Touch and iPad. Requires iOS 3.1.3 or later. Yay! What I'm ticked off about is there is no Android on here. So anyways, if you want to see this, head over to GameNatrix.com. In just a minute, I will have this up for you.
Which makes no sense, considering what were we talking about yesterday? That awesome new tool that that's supposed to kind of works like OnLive, but it's for phones. Remember we're talking
about
Facebook? Mm-hmm. I'll need to get some of that. You Android developers, it's supposed to make life easy for you.
Yes. Stop being a pain in our tissues.
All right, so we got some lovely more news for you. Well, I actually saw this popping up on Twitter yesterday, and I must say I was a bit irritated. I can't speak for the rest of you. Apparently, entertainment app usage on Xbox Xbox Live has more than doubled over the past year, so the entertainment category is actually surpassing online gaming. In its quest to dominate the living room, Microsoft has continually upgraded its Xbox Live entertainment offerings. According to VentureBeat, the effort is very clearly paying off. The company noted that the Xbox 360 is being used more for entertainment than pure gaming. Alongside the launch of new Comcast and HBO Go TV apps, Microsoft released some new figures, significantly citing that Xbox Live Gold members are spending an average of 84 hours a month on the service, with entertainment apps doubling in usage. No hard statistics are provided specifically on time spent with non-gaming apps, but Microsoft says the combined time spent watching TV, listening to music, and watching movies was the contributing metric. This represents the first time the console has primarily been used for music, movies, and other forms of entertainment rather than continual online gaming sessions. In total, there's been a 30% year-over-year increase in usage on Xbox Live globally. Even though BioWare released a major title in March, the whole of gaming has seen a drastic slowdown, causing a major UK retailer Game to go into administration. If you don't know what that means, it means the same here as probably going into bankruptcy. Perhaps gamers are watching more videos on Xbox Live instead of gaming during those harsh economic times. I think it's because they released an update, it is significantly harder to find whatever the hell it is you want to play, even if it's in your Xbox, because mm-hmm. I'm telling you, the debacle. And I am really, on one hand, I'm happy that you put some of these things on the Xbox. I understand what you all are trying to do, but as a gamer, I feel like a lot of us feel like you have abandoned us. You know, we helped you build this brand, and you have pretty much abandoned us. We can't find our XBLA. We can't find the game you want to play. You can't find anything.
Yes.
You can't find anything but these things. When I turned on my Xbox, the first thing I saw was there's HBO Go, there's Netflix, there's Spotify, YouTube. I wanted to play some freaking COD, even though my disc was bad.
Yes.
But I want to play the game, so I just leave my Xbox off. I'm going to have to find, maybe I'll go back to PC gaming or something, because I'm becoming increasingly disenchanted with Xbox and the fact that also that I have to pay for a subscription just to access these things. PlayStation is not making me pay if I want to watch their stuff. I'm just saying, Xbox.
Yeah.
PlayStation is looking pretty good. I may go back to being a Sony
mm-hmm.
fan girl.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I have it. I have mine, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, so what have I got now? I think we already talked about that, so let me find a different one. Gettysburg Armored Warfare, now available. Alternate universe TPS RTS online action game delivers on the South Rising again with tanks. Paradox Interactive and Radioactive Software today announced that Gettysburg Armored Warfare, a hybrid multiplayer third-person shooter, is now available for $9.99 via all major digital distribution platforms. Gettysburg Armored Warfare brings fast-paced action to the PC in an alternative reality version of the Civil War that features 32-on-32 player battles across multiple game modes and maps. Gordon Van Dyke, producer at Paradox Interactive, because we love you guys, says, Gettysburg Armored Warfare is the result of one man's passion and dedication and brings us back to the essence of what game development is all about. If you love games and the possibilities they represent, this is one game you should definitely check out. Union and Confederate troops spawn and vie for control of the battlefield with futuristic weapons and familiar formations. Both sides battle over control points as time passes and players lay waste to the enemy. The round ends when one side has reached zero attrition points and the other team is victorious. Gettysburg Armored Warfare is now available via major digital distribution platforms for, again, $9.99. And I have this up on GameMatrix.com this morning. Head over and check it out. There's even a YouTube video, so go see it. Do it. Do it.
Hey, is it Wednesday?
It is Wednesday!
Leroy Jenkins!
Did I scare you, Ginger?
Of course. All the way.
No, I didn't. I'm sorry. I had to do it.
I was terrified. I peed my pants even. It was.
You know what? You're a little too raw for the morning today.
Mm-hmm. Am I?
Yeah, you are.
My bad.
It's okay. Pat Ginger on the back. It's okay. Aw. Lamaze breathing. Oh, my God. Oh, I forgot today. Okay. Oh, my God. I got to remember to be here at 3 p.m. Must be on.
I can tell you why. I'll tell y'all why Thursday night show. Oh, no, no.
I had my elbow.
Oh.
That hurts.
Everybody's like, what's happening today at 3? Watch Twitter today at 3. I'll tell you what's going on. If you're on our Twitter, I will tell you everything. But I will not tell you on the morning show because she may not want me to tell you. So if Twitter, I may be able to.
I don't care. My RP character is having a baby today.
You just ruined my Twitter.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I wanted to tweet. I'm going to be an auntie. Okay, so.
She is going to be an auntie. The best auntie ever.
I might have a present. Okay, so anyway. This is not cute. Okay, so following Zayn Effendi, who is going to be composing a new soundtrack for game Guns of Icarus Online. Following MuseGames' successful Kickstarter campaign for Guns of Icarus Online, award-winning composer Zayn Effendi has decided to lend his amazing talents to help create the mood of the post-apocalyptic airship combat game. Mr. Effendi worked with Hans Zimmer, who I absolutely adore, by the way. He worked with their team at Remote Control Productions on the scores of legendary films like Pirates of the Caribbean 3, Kung Fu Panda, and The Dark Knight before starting his own studio. Hans Zimmer is like effing awesome. He does, like, music for everything. Tron. Okay, so anyway, Zayn is saying since we're very... Oh, no, well, the people at Guns of Icarus, which we know very well, said they're very excited to be collaborating with Zayn to set the mood for a high-tension combat, stealth, and adventure in the desolate waste. With music being a vital part of the game's experience, we are fortunate to have Zayn's help to create something epic and exciting. That's from Muse Games CEO Howard So. 300 years ago was the beginning of the war, the great war that never really ended. Cities were converted to war machines or rubble, citizens to soldiers or refugees, and the war raged until it consumed the world and turned the fertile plains to dust. Only when nations ceased to exist did they see...
hot, the way she's reading this.
I'm going to cut this short because we don't have time for me to tell you all about Guns of Icarus, but I can tell you it's a co-op airship combat game mixing together first-person shooter action with team-based strategy. Up to 4 people will crew a ship, taking on one of the key roles of captain, gunner, or engineer, and battling it out against other ships above the post-apocalyptic waste. In the Guns of Icarus Online, it'll take teamwork and tactics to dominate the skies. So for more information or to sign up for the newsletter, you can pop over to gunsoficarus.com. Tell them that we sent you. And the trailers for this look effing awesome. Have you seen these trailers?
No, I haven't, but now I need to. Now you've got me totally excited, so I'm going to have to.
Absolutely gorgeous. I will share one on Twitter so you can take a look. I love it. It's Ginger. It's steampunky.
Ooh, I like steampunky.
It is steampunky.
This is awesome. Did you read World of Mercenaries?
I don't believe so, darling.
All right. Did upgrading your PC to a hardcore gaming machine leave your wallet a little light? Don't worry. You're still entitled to a premium gaming experience, and City Interactive SA is going to give it to you. They're going to give it to you. With World of Mercenaries.
You.
A new free-to-play AAA first-person shooter currently in development exclusively for PC. I didn't say nothing. Powered by Unreal Engine 3 and to be distributed digitally via Steam, World of Mercenaries is a skill-based competitive FPS with stunning graphics, fluid controls, customizable weapons, and focus on teamwork as a core element for player progression. Immerse in the life of a fearless mercenary. Our veteran team is comprised... where did I go? Our veteran team is
never
comprised
scroll.
Of some of the most... I know, I hate that. Comprised of some of the most devoted FPS fans in the world. We're excited to use our knowledge and experience to fuse the best elements of previously released games in the genre with new and exciting advancements, be it in terms of graphics, controls, or skill-based gameplay, says Bogdan Oprescu, executive producer for the title. Our closed beta program will be an integral part of the development process for World of Mercenaries, as it is our goal to deliver a game made by, for, and with FPS fans. We are shaping the future of competitive FPS and are fully confident it will achieve with the enthusiasm and help of our beta testers. Awesome. Okay, so if you head over to GamingHX.com this morning, I have this up. It's called World of Mercenaries. They have a Facebook, they have a Twitter, they have a website for more information. So head over to GamingHX.com, check it out.
What if I don't want to?
Well, then you don't get all the awesome stuff.
That's mean, Ginger.
I know, I'm so mean. me I'm out of hand and that I'm a little bit too raw, and then she tells me I'm mean.
No, she didn't just pick it up me.
You love it. You love it. You know
yes,
you
I do.
Do.
I do. Okay.
Y'all know how I roll.
Okay. Apparently, it is a widely held belief now that we may get a free-to-play version of Skyrim in the next 2 years. Do you believe that?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be interesting.
I don't think so. I paid for my Skyrim. Yes. I don't want it to go free-to-play. That's just wrong. And I just lost my story because I decided to scroll before I was clicking on it.
That is always so fun.
I suck.
So do you need me to grab one?
You're going to have to because I cannot find my story. It went away. It was right there. I clicked it, and I accidentally clicked something else. Love it.
All right. I see that. Nerf Games' debut title, Avoid, finds a home on Desura. Nerf Games are happy to announce that our debut title, Avoid, has just gone live on Desura. To celebrate this, we have slashed its Desura price for the first week of sale by 50%. Avoid is a fast-paced arcade game that keeps players hooked for hours. Avoid has a striking visual style with a mix of solid interactive objects and a completely fluid physics-based background. The aim of the game is to survive a never-ending onslaught of blocks by dodging, weaving, and even changing the shape of the player's blocks. The longer the player can keep that up, the higher their score will climb. However, the amount of blocks being sent their way will also increase. Avoid features 7 game modes across both single and local multiplayer using Xbox gamepads. These range from Marathon Survival to Marathon X power-ups that help the player along, all the way to 4-player Charge, Capture the Flag, and King of the Hill Madness. Okay, I think, maybe, possibly. Yes, I have this up on GameNatrix.com. There is a trailer for you. Head over and check that out.
All right, now I have managed to find it.
Wait, this is kind of cool. Nerf Games is a small, student-run, independent studio.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, so definitely go over there and check that out.
All right, now I got to do this one quick because we got just a few moments. But NG Moco Sweden Boss, this is what I was just telling you about. He says he expects a free-to-play dev budget of $1 billion, companies hitting market caps of $100 billion. He's predicted a free-to-play equivalent of a high-end single-player experience like Bethesda's Elder Scrolls Skyrim in the near future. Speaking at the Free-to-Play Summit in London earlier today, or hours ago for us, Cousins described the past, present, and future of free-to-play business model in terms of three versions, 1.0, 2.0, and 3.0. He says 2.0 is a model that is dominating right now, practiced by companies like Zynga, where unpleasantness is deliberately added to incentivize players to spend their money in order to remove it with a game like Cityville. He says, in the future, the free-to-play version is 3.0, what Cousins calls the monetization superhighway. In this version, there will be no upper limit to the amount of players can spend, with every income and taste catered to in between. More importantly, the sort of items available for sale will be far more appealing. Under 3.0, in-game purchases will include gameplay features and functions that target positive player responses like excitement, delight, and risk-taking. Cousins compared spending money in contemporary free-to-play games to buying insurance that will gradually change in the coming years. To date, free-to-play games have been limited to a narrow field of genres and are generally synchronous or asynchronous with multiplayer experiences. However, Cousins posts that the version 3.0, the goal for free-to-play, that it was almost exclusively found in full-price console games. So we may be talking about that as well on tomorrow, see what we think about it. Where is it going to go? How is it going to go? Anyway, with that in mind, it's time for us to go because a little English lady is yelling at us. You guys probably can't hear it, but we can hear her. She's like, get off. So we will see you guys bright and early tomorrow. You know where to find us, GameNatrix.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com, all day, every day. I love when she does that. And, of course, we're always on Twitter, always available everywhere else. You're sweetest. We'll answer.
Yes.
Am I being free? Free. No, we are free. Baby.
Bring back Kool-Aid. Follow my lead. Now you're one of us. You're coming with me.
Later, boys and girls.